strong. It's very impressive. It's good to eat these verses. And he who was on the throne, he looked like jasper and sardius stone in appearance. Before his throne, there are lightnings, thunderings, and voices, and flames of fire. This is an appearance. When you see this, you can't do anything else except to praise our wonderful God and Father. The four living creatures are full of eyes all around. Around and within. Why do they have so many eyes? So that they can see even more the glory of God. That they can see the fullness of God. And when they see this fullness, they call holy, holy, holy. They never get tired. Why do we get tired to praise the Lord sometimes? Sometimes I think, oh, right now, I don't feel like praising the Lord. Why? Because my eyes are closed. Because I haven't seen the Lord in my heart. Then I get tired. But you can tell these creatures have been praising the Lord for a long time, for decades, for centuries. Whenever they do it, whenever the four living creatures call out, holy, 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 in verse 9 it says, whenever they give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, then whenever they do that, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. So that means they're doing it all the time, and not just because they have to, but because they have a full inner conviction that this God is the King. He sits on the throne. He is worthy to receive this worship. And we need this exercise, brothers and sisters. And we come here together. We come here together before the throne of God. And how can we appear before the throne of God without having such a desire in our hearts? I read in Nehemiah chapter 2. It's a chapter where Nehemiah appeared before the king and he was sad because he knew how Jerusalem was doing, and he wanted to ask the king whether he would be permitted to go to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem. And in Jeremiah 2, it said he was very, very afraid because he appeared with a sad face before the king. And he never came before the king with a sad face. It showed us before our king, who was even higher than the king of Persia at that time. How can we appear before him without having praise in our hearts, without having joy in our hearts? And in this whole book of Revelation, we see whenever people appear there before the throne, they have so much praise in their hearts. For example, in Revelation 7, verse 9, we see there the great multitude that no one was able to count without number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. Praise the Lord. There are many tongues and languages here among us this morning. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And then it says in verse 10, they cried out with a quiet voice? No, it says they were crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They have such a freshness of the experience of God. If every day I live in myself, then I have no praise because I didn't experience the salvation of the Lord. But if I can experience how much the Lord saves me from myself, then I can come before his face and praise him. And if we want to be there, then let us exercise to praise the Lord. To Him belongs all honor. The second burden that I want to share, this throne is the authority of God. It starts in our personal life. That God can rule over me, that He can rule over my thoughts, that not my sin and myself come out, but that the Lord can really save me in every situation. Then this will spread out and infiltrate our family life, the brother's house. The throne of God should really spread out wherever we are working or where we're studying. God's throne should also be set up. I just started a new job recently. And I always told the Lord, Lord, there where I am, I want Your throne to be set up. I want Your throne to be set up in my workplace. I met many brothers and sisters there, many believers. And a few weeks ago, we had a really good fellowship, and a brother said, let us read Psalm 2 together. And it was such a glorious fellowship. We read Psalm 2, where it says that the Lord set the kings on the heavenly mountain, on the holy mountain of Zion. We really prayed and said, Lord, we want to conquer this company for You. Our workplace, where we spend our time, we want that Your kingdom would spread out. We don't just want to serve here as employees, as slaves for the company, but we want to be slaves of Christ. We want that to be under Your authority. And the Lord has already done quite a lot, and He's answered a lot of our prayer, and I'm excited to see what the Lord will continue to do. If I didn't have the vision of the throne, I probably would just go to work. But since I've seen that the Lord sits on the throne and He wants to rule here on earth, since then I go to work with a different attitude. That's good. Let us have this vision in our hearts, not just in the church life, but in all of our aspects of our lives, that the Lord would reign in family and work, at school, the university. Another thing that encouraged me, Psalm 93 to 99 are really strong psalms. In almost every psalm, it says, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. And the psalmist had such a vision that the Lord is king, that the Lord wants to bring His kingdom here on earth. It's so good to pray with these psalms, Psalm 93 to 99. The Lord reigns. You mentioned that you saw the Lord on the throne at work, and there the Lord can reign. In my workplace, there are many Christians, and there is a prayer for Bosch, but the prayer is only that the company is successful. It's sad to see that Christians come together, but they pray for the success of the company and not for the success of God's kingdom. That's why we really need to see God's throne at work. Not just that where we are, that our studies go well, that our work companies are successful, but that God's kingdom comes. Psalm 99, 1 to 3, let's read that. Psalm 99, verses 1 to 3. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the peoples. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. He is holy. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord reigns. The Lord is great in Zion. He's high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. He is holy. Lord, we praise you. We praise your great and awesome name. We thank you for your word this morning. We want to see you more as he who sits on the throne. Pray now that we continue to hear your voice. Open our ears to hear your voice. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the peoples. Lord, we don't just want to read about your throne. We want it to really dwell in our hearts. I want to just add something for a few more minutes. At the outline, on the outline, 2C, it says, take heed, do not love the world. Maybe you ask yourself, what does this have to do with the throne? Ich kann auch nichts hören. Ich höre auch nichts. Sorry, they're just having some difficulties with the microphone. I can't hear the speaker. The world is under the sway of the wicked one. That's a disadvantage of sitting in a soundproof box. Can't hear him. Now, when we read about God on the throne, we don't read about Satan causing him any problems there. But here on earth where we are, there are many, many problems because the world lies in the sway of the wicked one, not just here and there. Sometimes we think, my life is pretty good, my workplace isn't so bad. But the scripture says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. This is such a contradiction to the throne of God. When we see the throne of God, we also need to see the vision to desire for the Lord to conquer the earth, beginning where we are, at our workplace, in our homes, in our families, at our schools. The vision has to encompass the whole earth in the end, because the earth was created for the Lord to express his glory and for man to reign under God's rule. And what did Satan do? Satan unlawfully stole the governing and the stewarding of this world. God didn't then just take it back forcefully from Satan, but he wants us, man, to take the reign away from Satan. The problem is that we sin, we people are also full of sin. And Satan didn't just take the world and keep it the way it was, but he built a system, a whole system to make us man useful for God's purpose. Satan is very clever. In Genesis 1, it's very clear what man was created for. Man was created to take the rule of the earth away from Satan. That's why Satan is working with all of his might to take us away from God's ruling. I want to draw something here. When we see the throne, that's the picture of a throne. That's supposed to be a chair, a throne. The throne of God that we've just seen is, of course, in heaven. And the world, I'll draw it like a square, because it's really like a cage. People think that we are so free, but actually the world is like a prison. The problem with the world is that the enemy has built many, many different types of prisons for each one of us. For example, the material world. I wrote an M here for material world. There are many material things. Nice cars, a nice house, lots of money. And if you think, I don't care about any of those things, praise the Lord, I'm free of the materialistic world, well, there is maybe another present for you, a career. Maybe you don't care so much about material things, but at work, there are so many things that can capture our hearts that you don't just do your work to gain the Lord, to live out Christ there, to set up his reign there. At the end, you do work to achieve honor, to achieve appreciation, to be successful, to climb the ladder in your career. In the end, you're completely captured in the world. Then you think, oh, my work, I don't care about materialistic things. I don't care about having a career. There are other things. There are other small prisons. Exercise and sports. I'll be the last to tell you not to exercise, definitely. I love exercising. But there's a difference between exercising to keep your body healthy. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to deal with our body in a good way, move our body, nourish our body healthily. But also this can be a prison. You only are exercising, you think about how can you be better in your, how can you become a better athlete, how can you become healthier, and it also becomes a prison. How about music? Music is not forbidden. In the Bible, we see lots of instruments, songs, praises. But even this, the Lord can turn into a prison, that music can and take over you, that you, in the end, you can't live without music. There are people, they always have to have music running. Also, saints have confessed they cannot work or do anything without some sort of music playing in the background. Also, this the enemy can use to capture us. And recently, the enemy came up with all sorts of newly designed prisons, peace movement. There are people who fight for peace on earth. You can look at all sorts of videos online. You can, all sorts of truths are unveiled on earth, and it seems like a really good thing to go to demonstrations for peace. But this can also end up into a prison for you. In the end, people fight from their own strength for peace on earth. And I think one of the trickiest things is the movement of truth movement. Have you ever heard of that? That's from all the people who realize, like, there are all the conspiracy theories that are going on. They realize that the media is lying to us. There's a whole movement of people who believe that they have seen through all the conspiracies, and now they fight for the truth to come to light. And I agree with a lot of what these people think and what they see, how the world is working. But also this has become a real system that the enemy can use as a design to capture everyone who isn't interested in the rest of the prisons. And in this truth movement, I have to do a lot with these types of people in my job. And they talk about breaking out of the matrix of the world. They say the world is a matrix. The world is a matrix, and we have to break out of this matrix. But actually breaking out of that matrix just puts you in the next cell of the next matrix. So the enemy is so, so clever. I'm sure we could write down so many things. There are many, many aspects here. Entertainment industry. In the end, you just want to listen to this, watch that, be entertained, watch this movie, watch this TV series. There's so many things. What we need to see here is that for every person, there's something specially designed by the enemy. And then there's another one, R for religion. Religion does not belong. We shouldn't think that religion does not belong to the world. There is a religious world, and the enemy is behind it. It's designed especially for all those types of people who don't care about the other prison cells in this matrix, but who are seeking some sort of faith, some sort of God. And it can turn, the religious world has captured so many Christians. We need to see that this world is a system that the devil is using to make as many people as possible, including Christians, unuseful for God and his kingdom. What's the only way to get out of this, to break out of this matrix, to use his own words? There's a psalm that says, "Do not love the world." It's Psalm 73. The psalm is really wonderful because it shows how deceiving the world is. Because in the whole second half of this psalm, the psalmist talks about how he looks to the world, at the world, and you realize that it's drawing him, it's attracting him. He tries to keep himself pure, and he comes to the point where he says, "It was all in vain. It's all been rendered useless. It was useless for me to keep away from the wickedness. It was useless for me to keep myself pure." But there's one decisive verse. It's a turning point. It's verse 17. In Psalm 73, verse 17, let's read this together. What does the psalmist say? "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. I understood, or I saw through their end. If you could figure something out, if you can look through something, right? The enemy wants to present it to you differently than it is, in order to really see through his deceiving, you have to go into this sanctuary. Yesterday we talked about the priestly services, the throne of grace. How can we come into the throne of grace? Here's our heart, because that's where the battle takes place. Our heart is always in the battlefield between the world and the throne. And the world, it's not always evil, right? It's not evil to go to work. It's not evil to have a job and have a career. But if it takes over my heart, then it's a problem. To drive a car is not evil. But if my heart hangs on the car and I polish it every day and don't want anyone to scratch it. And as it gets scratched, then my day is ruined. Well, then I have a problem because then my heart is captured by this car. It's up to us to protect our heart. Proverbs says, "Give me, my son, your heart." We live in this world, but we are not of the world. We have access to the throne of grace, into the holiest of holies. We have a way out of this matrix of the world. We have to choose this way every day. We see that there's such a contrast between this world and the first love. The Lord wants to gain the first love. The enemy wants us to love the world. What should we do? We should decide every day to come to the Lord, to enter into the holiest of holies, to approach the throne of grace. And when you continue to read Psalm 73, you see there's a huge difference. At the very end of the psalm, he says, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" Verse 25. "And there is nothing upon earth that I desire besides you." Right? Before that, he was in the world and everything was drawing him and attracting him and distracting him. But once he entered into the sanctuary, he realized that all of this is nothing. It's vanity. It's all rendered useless. What was the difference? He came forward to the throne of grace. He came forward to the Lord. We need to do this every day to give our heart to the Lord, that we can love the Lord with a first love and not the world, because the world is the contrast, the contradiction, the opposite of the throne. It encouraged me that we pray every day that the Lord would set up his throne in every aspect of our life, wherever we are, at work, at school, in the family life, wherever. Most of us still are working, right? That's good. It's the word says, if you don't work, you shall not eat. So we certainly should not all quit our jobs. For many brothers, this turned to be a problem. They didn't know what they should do with their time, and then they started doing nonsense. Or we shouldn't also just get rid of all of our material possessions. What is decisive here is our heart. If our heart is burning for the first and best love, then we will deal reasonably with all these things and use it for the kingdom. We also shouldn't go to work and think, "Oh, I'll just do sloppy job at work," or "It doesn't matter. I just go to work. It doesn't matter." We should do our work well. The next step would be for us to say, "Lord, let your throne and kingdom come in my workplace." We want to fight for the Lord to come back soon. In Psalm 73:17, it says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." Unfortunately, not very many people see this today. We see what's before our eyes, and the world doesn't seem to be evil towards us. We see a lot of good parts of this world. But if we don't understand the end of this world, then our heart will hang on the things of this world. So I praise the Lord for the time of the conference and the book of Revelation. Also regarding the vision of the throne of God. The throne of God is the throne of judgment. It's a judgment seat. Why do we Christians need such a vision of the judgment seat of God? Sometimes we ask ourselves, why do I have to see this vision? The reason is, if we believers don't see what this throne is for, the throne that we just talked about, then we will start to love the world. And this is a risk for the believers. It's not a risk for the unbelievers. They love the world. They have no other option but to love the world. But for us believers, the world can really become a trap. The world can become a trap for us. But if we see what the throne of God is for and what God reveals there, then we will see the end of the system that Satan built for the believers. That's why it's so healthy to read the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 and following, we see a bunch of other chapters that talk about nothing else except the judgment of this world. So in case you notice that my heart is hanging or attached to things of the world, let's read Revelation. Because in Revelation, starting with chapter 4 and 5 and following, we read it, when we pray with it, then our desire for the world will fall away. Why? Because we see the end there. Today we don't see the end before our eyes. I have a wonderful company. If I can reach this point in my career, then I will be well-respected. Things look really good. But in chapter 4 in Revelation, things don't look so good anymore. Everything that belongs in this world will be burned by fire, Peter says. The elements will melt. Everything will fall into fire. Sometimes I ask myself, why do we believers need to know all the chapters about the judgment of the world? Is it that interesting? Hopefully it won't be around when it happens, right? The reason is so that we know what the end is, so that we don't get the idea to love the world, to be attached to the world, to spend time with the matters of the world. In the end, they will all be destroyed. I'll read you some examples. I'll read to you where the end of this will be. Revelation 8, verse 7. The first angel, Revelation 8, 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. This is the end of the world. Hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. So if our home is this earth, and our hearts care about music, career, exercise, sports, truth movement, peace movement, think about this. Hail and fire mingled with blood. And a third of the trees were burned up. Do you want to live on an earth where a third of it is all burned up? A third of the earth burned up. A third of the trees and all the green grass was burned up. And then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Some people like to visit the sea. They like to go on vacation to the beach. So if my heart is hanging on vacation and all year long, I save up to go on a wonderful vacation. And after the vacation is finished, I start planning the next vacation. Then I start thinking about, where have I not been on this earth before? I want to go there next. Well, then think about this great mountain. Don't think of the Swiss mountains and the beautiful Alps, but think about a great mountain burning with fire. Have you ever seen a mountain like this in the Swiss Alps? A great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Do you want to swim in a sea that is blood? If our heart is attached to things like this and we're only thinking about these things, let us understand the end. It's about the end here. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So many people like to go on cruises, cruise ships, from Greenland to California and to wherever, I don't know. A third of the ships were destroyed. What a contrast, what a difference. Do you want to invest your hearts into the matters of this world? That's the end. Then chapter 9, verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of this smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Today, hardly anyone thinks about verses like this. When you look at the world around you today, you think, yeah, everything's wonderful. I want to have this. I want to go spend time there. I want to invest in this job. Let's read this book of Revelation. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Do you want to live in a world like this? Do you want to live in a time like this? Do you want to still be around on earth when this is happening? Even if you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, do you want to see these things happening to your neighbors, to your work colleagues? This is the end of the world. This is what it looks like. This is what will happen. And in those days, verse 6, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. They'll jump out the window from a high-story building, but when they splatter on the ground, they won't be dead. That's the end. Can you imagine that? It's unimaginable for us today. Today, we drive to vacation, we invest our time, we invest our money, we seek so many worldly things, and we don't think that this is going to be the end. Revelation shows us the end. And the shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. This is not a movie. Lots of people like to watch movies where monsters are portrayed, but soon these monsters are going to be on your front doorstep, in your neighbor's house, maybe even in your own building. Do you want to be here? Where do you want to be? In the world or on the throne? Where's the safe place in this world? There's no safe house in this world. This world will end just as Revelation says. How far shall I read on? On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. Verse 7. Have you ever seen a locust like that? They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle, so on and so on. You can read yourself. This is a conference about the book of Revelation, so be encouraged to read the words in Revelation. Blessed is he who reads. Why? Because if you read these verses and you think about it, you contemplate it about it, you meditate over it, then you will realize what the end of all of this world will be. Then we won't be so quick to hang our heart on the so many things of the world, to be attached to material things, or to be attached to some sort of movement. What's a movement on this earth? Peace movement, truth movement. Don't waste your time with such movements and demonstrations on the earth. It's a waste because it's all going to go up in flames. Even these movements, they will not be spared by the locusts and the scorpions. 5 months long, there will be this on the earth. And after that, it's going to be worse. After that, there's the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet and the seven bowls of wrath. This is healthy medicine for us. Sometimes I ask myself, why are these chapters described in the Bible? In the beginning Revelation, it says that the Lord wants to show his servants what will happen soon. Why do we need to see that? Because there's a danger that we will want to stay in the world. There's a danger that we will experience these things, that we will have to go through these things. The unbelievers will have to go through all these things, but we believers, we should not have to go through these things. We should not partake of the judgment of the world. We should be at the throne of God. Our predestination is to be at the throne of God. But if my heart is attached to the things of this world, then I won't be at the throne of God when this time comes. And all of these creatures and monsters, we will experience them and see them ourselves with our own eyes. And then comes the beast. I haven't read everything that's written in Revelation yet. We haven't spoken about the beast yet. You can read it yourself. The fallen angels. One third of all angelic beings will be here on earth, and not the good ones. The good ones, the good angels abide in heaven. They stay in heaven. But those evil angels who rebelled with the devil, one third of them, all angelic beings, when Satan gets thrown onto earth, it says that his tail will swipe all the other angels and stars will come down onto earth. Do you really want to live in such a world? They'll be next door. And then the beast comes from the abyss. Today, the beast isn't here yet. He's waiting. He's biding his time. And when the angel falls on the earth and Satan falls on the earth, Satan has a key to open up the abyss. And with the locust, the beast comes as well. The king of corruption, Apollyon. And for 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months, he will reign on earth and he will persecute everyone who has the testimony of God and of Jesus. Why do we believers need to read this? Do you like to read about this? Do you enjoy reading about these creatures? There are better chapters. Maybe let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I love Psalm 23. We've really experienced it in the last days, going through the valley of the shadow of death. But the medicine in the words of Revelation helps us to make the right choice, whether we want to seek the Lord with the saints in the meeting or if we want to spend our time doing something else. Maybe I want to invest my time in the conference instead of using my time somewhere else. If I want to seek the Lord together with the saints, or if I want to be in a relationship that will bring me into corruption. If we read these chapters, it will really open our eyes. Just like we need the love of the Lord, we also need the fear of God. And we can get the fear of God through Revelation when we read these chapters. No one in their right mind will say, I don't care. I have the seal of the Holy Spirit. Nothing will happen to me. Are you so sure? 5 months long? All right, maybe you can withstand that. But afterwards, there's more. So the word in Revelation is healing medication for us. It's a word of encouragement for us not to love the world. And if we realize in our hearts there's something in our heart, career, sports, religion, maybe unhealthy relationship, partnerships, unhealthy marriages, today we can repent. Today is a golden opportunity to confess to the Lord. Go to the high priest and say, Lord, I love this world. I have this relationship. It's not good. I repent. I want to deal with it before you. If we do that, then for us today, judgment will be salvation. Like we heard, the high priest judges us for our salvation. In chapter 1 to 3, we see that the judgment on the churches serves for their salvation. Later, in chapter 4, 5, there is no more salvation anymore in the judgment. The judgment is just judgment. You can read it in chapter 9, 27. It says, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Desolation, abomination. The end of this world is desolation. But the end of judgment through the high priest for his church leads to salvation. So which judgment do you want? Judgment for desolation or judgment for salvation? Judgment through the high priest by his grace, by his love for your salvation? Or do you want to despise it and stay in this cage, in this matrix of the world until the judgment comes that ends in desolation and destruction? I thank the Lord that we can repent. We can go on our knees and say, Lord, forgive me. Don't just forgive me, but change me. Amen. Repentance means literally changing your mind, changing your mindset, changing the way you think. Recently, I had some strange thoughts in my mind, and I said, Lord, no, I don't accept it. Change these thoughts. Holy, holy, holy. That's what should be up here. Not worldly, worldly, worldly. That's not what they call out in heaven. Worldly, worldly, worldly. What do they call out in heaven? Holy, holy, holy. Holy be to the holiness unto God. Can you imagine if we continue to call that out into our mind, what will happen to our mindset? Holy, 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 holy. If you hear that all the time, then slowly but surely the Lord will be able to sanctify my mind. I need so much sanctification. I need so much holiness. My thoughts are unholy. They are often from below, but I condemn them and I judge them. Why? Do you know why? Because I want to appear before the throne. I don't want to have anything to do with these thoughts. Sometimes these thoughts come like arrows from the devil, but I don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with this sinful and unholy worldly being. The world passes away and its lust, but he who does the will of God, he abides forever. That's what John says in 1 John. So the book of Revelation for me is a book of choice. What do we want to choose? Today we stand before the choice. Do we choose the throne or do we choose this world? What do you choose? The throne. Amen. This morning, the decision should be easy for us. We choose a throne. If it is difficult, read Revelation, not just the good chapters. Read every word. Don't just read Revelation 21 and 22. Oh, the wonderful, the end is wonderful. Of course, the end is wonderful. But the chapters in between are written as a warning to us so that we believers have a fear of God. That we can say, Lord, save me from this being of the world, the nature of the world. It doesn't mean that we have to go into a monastery and quit our jobs and sell our cars, sell all your material possessions and sit in a monastery like a monk or a nun. Amen. It's not about the outward things. It's about our heart. These days, I really had a lot to do with heart. My son was operated on his heart. He had a heart operation 3 weeks ago. And it became very clear to me that the heart is not a simple thing to be fixed. It's not easy to fix the heart. If you want to fix a human heart, you need an absolute expert surgeon. They open the heart. They go into the inner parts of the heart. I was astonished where they can go into the chambers of the heart, what they are able to do. And this doesn't just outwardly, yeah, okay, it's a difficult operation, it's a difficult matter. The Lord also showed me what's with my spiritual heart. My spiritual heart is probably even more complicated because there are many chambers that we don't know about. There's a pre-chamber. I learned a lot about the build of the human heart these days. There are many chambers in the heart, and there can be a hole in any chamber. And through the hole, the world slithers in, and you have to close the holes. There were three holes that they sewed up in my son's heart. How many holes are in my heart? Are they still open? Is there room for sports, for the peace movement, for the truth movement? In the end, you have so many holes in your heart like Swiss cheese. And in every hole, the enemy can slither in. Telegram is good to have fellowship among one another, but there's also a lot of nonsense coming in through Telegram. Leave it behind. We don't need the nonsense of Telegram. Use Telegram for the Lord, for the fellowship, but fill the hole for all the silly things, nonsense things. They ruin your heart. They destroy your heart. Let the heart specialist, surgeon, Jesus, fix your heart. The Bible shows us that our heart is not just repaired. Ezekiel 36 even says, he gives us what? A new heart and a new spirit into our innermost man. If we have the love of the world in our heart, let's go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me a new heart. My old heart loves the world. But if you give me a new heart, then I can love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. In Ezekiel 36, take Ezekiel 6 as a prayer and say, Lord, I need a new heart that doesn't love the world, because the world passes away and all its lust. In these days, I really took this word of revelation for myself and I said, Lord, I don't want to land there. I don't want to end up here where as what's described here. In Revelation 7, we see the first fruits and the overcomers. Where are they? Are they here, down here in the world? It says explicitly that they are before the throne. The first fruits are before the throne. And that's where we want to be. What is today? Today's Friday. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk more about this. What does it mean to be an overcomer in the first fruits before the throne? But today, let us take this healthy word of revelation. Let us accept it and say, Lord, thank you for this food. Heal my heart from this disease, from the sickness of the love of the world. Let's pray before we go to lunch. We'll also have some announcements. So let's pray, and then we'll have some announcements, and then we can go to lunch.